The Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who sent me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And then he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name. Amen. From 2007 to 2009, I worked with a pastor named Dave Smith at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sharon Center, I was telling you earlier, just north of Wadsworth. I was just beginning my ministry there. It was his influence that led me to accept the call, and he was finishing his ministry. He was a second career pastor, and he had been there for 10 years, which is a pretty long time for a first ministry call. On my first day of work there, we were sitting in his office, and he was basically running through a list of ministries to orient me and to work out how we were going to partner together. And during this time, he shared with me something about himself that really I didn't know, and it was a big surprise. It turned out that Pastor Dave was the owner of a broadcasting company that owned 17-some TV stations across the U.S. He had been successful in turning a failing television station around in Cincinnati, which is what he was doing when he discerned his call to pastoral ministry. So he quit his job, and he enrolled in Trinity Lutheran Seminary in Columbus. Through a series of events around this time, he began the broadcasting company. And this enabled him to support his family as he was focusing on his seminary studies and training, as there were others to manage most of the day-to-day operations. So while he didn't need to be a parish pastor to make a living, he did it because he was driven by the Holy Spirit, devoting his time, passion, and his business acumen to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Dave and his family lived in an average house with nondescript cars. He earned a pastor's salary basically in line with synod guidelines. And his family gave to the church a healthy amount, but not overly large, so they would not become dependent upon their giving once it was time for them to leave. And so with the income from his company, he was able to give very generously to many ministries, even outside the church. One of my favorite things about Dave was that his ministry as a husband and a father came before his ministry to the congregation, and he encouraged everyone to prioritize in this manner. His family is probably the most normal pastor's family I've ever met, if you know what I mean. And because his commitment to Jesus was foremost, and everything else fell in line after that, he was able to lead by example. He was particularly effective with financial stewardship because he practiced what he preached. He was able to challenge and inspire others to give generously as well. And for many years, St. Paul gave around 20% of its annual budget, about $60,000 a year, to churchwide, synod, and global ministries. Does my sermon sound like a eulogy yet? Well, in a way it is. Pastor Dave died suddenly on March 28, 2011, when a large aortic aneurysm that he probably had had for most of his life but had been undetected ruptured, and it killed him instantly. To say it was a shock would have been a huge understatement. It was one of those things in life that reminds me that its life isn't fair. The church with a capital C really needs the kind of pastor that he was. I've spent a lot of time trying to process Pastor Dave's death. Do I think God willed or purposed it? No, of course not. God's will is always healing and wholeness. Jesus' entire ministry points to this truth. Can God call forth new life in the midst of a tragedy such as this? Absolutely. Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection from the grave convinces me of this truth. And I have witnessed how new life has arisen from Dave's death, primarily in how I have seen those who Dave mentored and taught and partnered with in ministry, how their faith in Christ grew in maturity, how they understand and articulate the gospel in ways that even many pastors cannot, how their commitment grew in putting Jesus and worship and service above other things that fill our time and our schedules. Dave deepened the discipleship of so many, and in our culture of affluence, that is no small thing. Have you ever noticed how when somebody dies, suddenly it's as if they did no wrong, that they were like a saint living among us? And it's suddenly like they had some kind of superpower that we never noticed when they were around. One of the ways I try to honor the memory of Dave, and I know it will sound strange, is to remember his quirks and flaws. One, because it makes me laugh. And two, because I believe that the legacy that Dave would have wanted to leave would not have been what a great person he was, but instead that the good that he was able to do was through the power of the Holy Spirit working through him. In conversations, in sharing what was going on, when there were good things happening, he was quick to say, "Praise God." And when things were not good, he would often stop to pray right there and then. He wanted his life to point to the love and forgiveness and hope that comes through the God known most fully in Jesus. And I think when all the dust settled out, it did, loud and clear. Maybe by now you figured out why I've shared this story about my former colleague and friend with you. And I have to say, it's been 2 years and it's the first time that I've been able to talk about Dave in a sermon like this. Pastor Dave's life was such a contrast to the man that Jesus talks about in the Gospel of Luke today. In many ways, I'm sure they probably would have had many similarities. It doesn't say that the man in the parable achieved his wealth through dishonest means. I'm guessing that he was a skilled and hardworking farmer who no doubt was at the right place in the right time, and he had a good string of weather and was able to capitalize on the opportunities that were given him. So while he is not wrong in acquiring his wealth, he misses the mark in what he does with it. He sits down one night to plan out his future and solve the problem that probably all of us can relate to. He didn't have enough storage for all his stuff. And he comes up with a predictable solution, starting from scratch and building something bigger and better so that he can retire and kick back and enjoy life and finally do all those things that he didn't have time for before his windfall. But this parable doesn't have the happy ending that a good financial planner would envision. God says to him, "You fool, you will die tonight, and what will happen to all your stuff?" And Jesus ends the parable with this: "So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." Wow. I've got to say that line convicts me. If I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, and I can because I probably won't be back here, if I had the means that Pastor Dave had, I don't think I'd be working in a church. Don't get me wrong, there are certainly many things that I enjoy about it, but some of it is really, really hard. And I'd rather be a little more comfortable, complete some of the projects around the house that we've been wanting to do, revamp the wardrobe, do something a little crazy every now and then, live it up a little. I suspect if I were in a position of means, in the end, when it was all said and done, I would end up being a lot more like the farmer in the parable than Pastor Dave. But that's not our situation. As I was telling you earlier, we're new parents to twin boys born last October, and we went from being dinks, double income, no kids, to a being single income family with a lot of diapers to buy. While we could do a little better with saving money, I have some of those couponing guru friends that put me to shame. We aren't over the top by any means, and we do struggle to make it all work. So I think when I hear this parable, I can make a pretty good argument that it doesn't apply to me. But I've done enough 30-hour famines and service projects to know better. I've got the statistics about world poverty rattling around in my head, and I'm sure you've heard them, that almost half the world, over 3 billion people, live on less than $2.50 a day, that 80% of humanity lives on less than $10 a day, that according to UNICEF, 22,000 children die each day due to poverty from preventable causes like clean water and inexpensive medications, that according to Bread for the World, even in our own country, 14.5 million households struggle to put food on the table. That's 49 million Americans, including 16.2 million children. You can do a Google search on poverty statistics, and you can get so much more startling information. It's mind-numbing, and it rarely makes the evening news. So no matter how I justify it, where I am financially right now, I actually am the farmer. I've got space in my house that houses two cars, while many are homeless. I've got room in my budget for cable and occasionally eating out and paying off our bills every month. We're not about to start a building project anytime soon, but in comparison to most of the people in the world, we are very, very comfortable. Which makes me very uncomfortable to return to this parable. And I hope it makes you a little uncomfortable too, because that's the point of the story. Our security ultimately doesn't come from the stuff we amass or the safety nets we weave, but our security is only in God, in Jesus the Christ. And at any moment, these things can fail us. Even in an instant, our health can fail us and those who love us and rely on us. But it doesn't stop us from trying to make our lives more comfortable, does it? And even at the cost of what we're able and commanded to share with those in need. And why? Because after all, we worked for it. And what if those people squander it? Isn't that how they got into the situation they're in anyhow? Fools. We are all fools. But thankfully for us, God has a soft spot for fools. So much so that God came to us and took on the form of human in Jesus, feeling what we feel and experiencing what we experience. And Jesus certainly got frustrated with people like us that we meet in the gospel texts. Sometimes he got downright angry. But it didn't stop Jesus in the moment, even when his closest friends and followers betrayed him, from picking up the cross and turning toward Golgotha. Even in the moment of his deepest pain and loneliness, he cries out words of forgiveness and love while nailed to the cross. And in this moment, we learn everything we need to know about how God feels about us, despite our self-serving nature. If we could truly grasp the depth of that love, if we could feel deep in our gut the love that God has for us for more than just fleeting moments, the sacrificial love that gives everything up to break us out of the prison walls of stuff that we build around ourselves, blinding us from recognizing God's presence in our lives, including the face of God in our neighbors, I don't think we would live as we do, grabbing for better and more while others go without basic needs that give them a chance to have a little breathing room and even thrive. But we forget who we are as baptized children of God and what that even means and how that changes our whole purpose for living, to be God's hands and feet and heart and mind to bring healing to a diseased world. We forget what really matters and convince ourselves that it's about success and fulfillment and pleasure. And that is why we are gathered here today, to remember. To remember God's incredible love for us. To remember that God has given us more than we need so that we can share it with others. To remember that our lives are short and the decisions we make and how we love really, really matters. Because in a flash, our words and actions may become the real last will and testament to our loved ones. Our only security comes from God alone, and we will do well to order our lives with Christ first and foremost. Everything else will fall into place, whether we worry about it or not. And believe me, I'm a worrier, so I'm preaching to myself this morning as much as I'm preaching to you. You know, because of his aneurysm, I think Pastor Dave probably would have died an untimely death even if he had continued as a television station manager. Although he did admit to me that being a parish pastor was the hardest thing he had ever done. And because God uses all the baptized to minister through the vocations that they are in, God would have used Dave to bless the world through his previous career and his involvement in his church. But because Dave listened to that voice that was telling him that there was something more, there was something else that he needed to do, the last 12 years of his life were so incredibly rich, so productive in a way that the world cannot understand. And I'm just privileged that I'm one of the few that got to see him do his thing and get to know what he was all about. And his life was about Jesus. About making sacrifices so that others might gain a glimpse of God's kingdom, that they might know how much God loves them too. His life was centered on the stuff that really matters, and his witness continues to influence others in life-changing ways. And for that, I say praise God. Praise to the Father who breathed life into Dave and into each one of us gathered this morning. Praise God for all that you give us, for all that we have to share with others. Praise Jesus for going after us, even when we turn to our own made-up securities and safety blankets. Praise Holy Spirit for opening our minds and hearts so that we might glimpse the truth that the world does not want us to see. As you leave this place, I ask you to reflect on one thing. What abundance do you have that God has given you that you tend to hoard or keep to yourself? What is God calling you to share with others so that they might know the good news of Jesus Christ? And what is it going to take to make a change, to make this leap of faith? Be bold and really talk to God and each other about it and see what happens. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your love. We give you thanks that you breathe life into us and you give us family and loved ones to care for. We give you thanks that you have poured out the waters of baptism upon us, giving us new life and making us your sons and daughters, put here for a special mission on earth. We pray, Lord, that you would help loosen the tight grip that we have on our stuff and the things that make us feel safe. That we might see your love and in knowing your love for us, that we might be inspired to share more of what we have with others. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.